Good Monday evening. Welcome to this edition of the Houston Roundball Review presents Folks Talking Sports. I am, of course, KG Chris Gardner, owner and co-founder of the Houston Roundball Review. Joining me is my man, my colleague, Willie Gibson in Ohio. How are you doing, my brother?
Fantastic, my man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Apologize for being just a few moments late. And I'll let Brother Gibson know, and I want to let everyone know as well. And I'm trying to do one more thing here real quickly, if I may. Want to let Miss Wanda Polk know about the show, because I got cut short doing other things before this show. But right before, literally minutes before the start of this show, Hall of Famer Van Chancellor left me a message of my message that I left for him. So I had to call him back because I wanted to get Coach Chancellor's, some comments from Coach Chancellor on Rockets general manager and really kind of de facto Houston Comets general manager Carol Dawson's passing away earlier today. And Brother Gibson, if you don't mind, I typed him up. So let me just read you what the Coach Chancellor said about Carol Dawson. I don't know if anyone who was more instrumental than Carol Dawson was in building the Comets in the four championships. Before I got the job, he had already gotten Cheryl, Tina, Cynthia, and Jeanette Arcane. He was the general manager of the Rockets, but he always had time for the Comets. CD gave me the best 10 years of my life. He was a wonderful, caring, warm human being. And then lastly, if you didn't like CD, you didn't like anybody, end quote. So that's some words from Van Chancellor. And it's a small world. It's interesting how this all works out. Mm-hmm. Coach Chancellor was a guest speaker, was the guest speaker just a few days ago, Friday, at Houston Christian Women's Basketball Queens of the Court fundraising dinner and fashion show. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting next to him at the table. Mm-hmm. So it was me, Coach Chancellor, his wife, Mrs. C, and a few others who I had not seen in a long time. So to just reconnect with Coach Chancellor Friday, he asked me about the Comets. Obviously, you know, every time you see Van Chancellor, the Comets always come up in conversation.
Sure.
But then this morning, you know, when Carol Dawson passed away, I decided to reach out and call Coach, and then he called me back. I got comments from Cheryl Swoops as well. I reached out to Cynthia and Tina also. Hopefully I hear from them as well. Because like I said, as comments from Coach Chancellor, Carol Dawson helped build the Houston Comets dynasty. Those mm-hmm. four championships, CD had a major hand in that. And here are the words from Miss Swoops. My heart truly hurts right now. CD was the reason why the Comets were who we were. He believed in us from day one and was a huge fan. He was always kind and had the biggest heart. Thank you, CD, for helping to bring four WNBA championships to the city. You will never be forgotten. Love, Swoops 22. So on that sad note, and obviously on a national level, on an actor level, icon, yeah, James Earl Jones passed away at age 93. So he lived a full life. Made his three quarter and 10, made his four score and 13. So he lived a hell of a life. And I know this is Folk Talking Sports. And Big Thrillo, how you doing? We can talk about what happened to your alma mater momentarily. But Brother Gibson, if you don't mind, sir.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts on James Earl Jones?
Oh, without question. I mean, where do you start? Claude, I mean, I'm younger than you. So
barely, brother, but yes, you are. Yeah.
I will say Claudine, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Is where I would start. Let's see. I'm trying to build up, but at the end of the day, King Joffrey Joffer.
Yep.
I mean, I can go Star Wars, that, you know, Field of Dreams, The Great White Hope.
Yes, that's where I was going. Yeah.
But you know, showing my youth, King Joffy Joffer. You know, my son works. You know that. I mean, that's that's an iconic. I mean, and when I said it, by no means I'm not minimizing his illustrious career to that coming to America, but that's what I will remember. That's what I remember him most from is coming to America. But a lifelong lived, 93 years old. It's a true blessing to to have lived as long as he did. But he'll be missed, without question.
And Thrillo said it well. Yeah, no doubt. We lost two OGs today. Yep. You know, no question. Impacted a lot of different people, a lot of different ways. But rest peacefully to Carol Dawson, and rest peacefully to James Earl Jones. Now let's have some fun, my man.
Yes, sir.
This episode 138 of Folks Talking Sports. We're gonna talk some football. Yes. Well, first. Yes, that's right. The King of Zamunda. Yes, indeed. Yes, and ironically, another part of irony. Stars Network. Mm-hmm. It should be paying me for saying that, but has been showing Coming to America the last few days.
Really?
And, you know, the song, She's Your Queen to Be, that song is epic. But when, I forgot his name, but Oha. Comes in, and, you know, while the king is talking to the prince, and he says, excuse me, your highness, everyone is waiting.
Yeah.
And king says, well, let them wait.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I'm talking to my son. Yeah. Okay. Thursday. Yeah, I think it was Thursday. Brett Yormark, mm-hmm. Big 12 commissioner in UConn, put out an official statement that they were pausing conversations about mm-hmm. UConn joining the Big 12, which is the nice way of saying there were not 12 Big 12 presidents willing to vote in favor of UConn joining right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because UConn also put out a statement saying that, yes, this was really the Big 12 decision. You know, we thank them for listening to us, and we hope we still aspire to be a member of a Power Four in due time. Mm-hmm. But yes, just your thoughts on, am I reading it correctly? That, you know, we're pausing conversations is really, we didn't have enough votes right now?
That's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's other ways to read it, but I would say that's accurate. Absolutely. Absolutely, because why would you pause?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Something Browns related just popped. I apologize.
Is that about Deshaun Watson?
No, that was earlier.
Okay.
But no, this is a little procedural types. They made a trade in training camp for mm-hmm. a conditional pick, and the player had to be on the roster for two games in order for them to claim that pick. And he had a horrible game yesterday, and I kind of was like, I hope they let him hold on for one more week. And no, the player was just cut. So so they no longer get that pick.
It's business.
Yeah, it's business. It was Kay York. They traded the kicker, Kay York, to the Washington Commanders for a conditional seventh round pick. And he missed a few field goals.
Missed yesterday. Two yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I was kind of like, one more week to get that pick. But no, Commander said no. We're going to go ahead and cut our losses now. So the pick doesn't convey to the Browns at this point.
Yeah, his two missed field goals would not have helped much in
no.
that 37-20 loss. But still, missing field goals is...
Not for long, bro. Not for long,
NFL,
bro.
That's right.
Not for long.
That's right. That's what it stands for.
Not for long.
But you were at, the Browns game, right?
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts on what you saw in person there, Browns Cowboys?
All right. Deshaun Watson's a popular figure to criticize at this point. And it's getting ridiculous. Did he play poorly yesterday? Absolutely. But was he the only one? Absolutely not. First of all, he played without his two starting tackles. So you have a five-person offensive line, and you're missing two starters. He was running for his life the entire game. He had no time to throw the ball. And I questioned the play caller, which is also the head coach, Kevin Stefanski. They had 14 carries from the running backs the entire game. Five in the first half. So that, and you were playing one of the premier defenses in the NFL in the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And one of the premier defenders, if not the premier defender in the NFL. One of, because I do cover the Cleveland Browns, and Myles Garrett is the reigning defensive player of the year, but one of the premier defensive players in the league, and Micah Parsons. And Deshaun Watson just didn't have a chance. The entire team didn't play well. And then, you know, the criticism came. He's not ready to – you can't say he hasn't played anymore. He can't play – you know, he hasn't played enough games. You can't say that anymore. Well, we also found out post-game that his father passed away on Friday.
Wow.
And on Saturday, this we did know, a former teammate of his from Clemson passed away at 26 years old. But no one knew his father passed away on Friday until postgame. So in hindsight, you kind of look and say, okay, that explains some things. And this is why I paused at the beginning while you asked me this question, because I never go at the media. We all have a job to do, regardless if we like each other, we don't like personalities, what have you, doesn't matter. We're all there. Conceivably, possibly, potentially, for the same goal. There's a question asked today of head coach Kevin Stefanski and his media availability. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. A longtime media member that's covered the Browns for years, I'll say.
Okay. Yeah.
There were two, actually. The first question was, because Deshaun actually disclosed, he actually disclosed post-game last night that his father passed away on Friday. And the team asked him if he wanted to go home. But he chose to stay and be with his guys.
Mm-hmm.
Today it was asked the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, well, Deshaun said that he was given the opportunity to go home, but he chose it. Is that true? Why would he lie?
Right.
And then the second question, again, someone who's covered the team for quite some time. Now, you've been a part of these scrums, Chris. You know how premium a question is.
Yes.
And this person used their question to ask, well, I noticed in pregame that DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the third-string quarterback, and Jameis Winston, the backup quarterback, were on the field warming up, but Deshaun was on the field with his girlfriend. What's up with that? Now, you've already known, this is Monday at 12:30 Eastern, so we've already been informed that his father passed away on Friday. We knew his college teammate passed away on Saturday. And kudos to Kevin Stefanski, because he said, I don't know what it is you're talking about. I almost said the person's name. Thank you. I don't know what it is you're talking about. He said, but players have their family on the field all the time. I said hi to my family yesterday. So that's what I mean. But Deshaun, anything wrong? You know, they didn't put enough ice in my Coke. Oh, it's Deshaun Watson's fault. It's really to that point now. And as a media member, but I think enough is enough. It's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He didn't play well, but he wasn't the only one. The offensive line was in shambles. And I'm so glad now that he's no longer in the top 10 as far as average annual value of quarterback contracts. Because now, hopefully, this will no longer be held over his head. Because, well, he's making $230 million. Get out of his pocket. We talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Right.
About how you don't get in somebody's pocket in the locker room. But that's the first thing brought up. And it's just, I mean, don't get me wrong. I covered Deshaun Watson. I get it. I understand. But there's times where you see the line is being crossed.
Yeah.
And I think today and yesterday were some of those times.
Well said, man. Yes, we in media all have jobs to do, but some folks go about it differently. Some folks have different angles. Some folks choose to make it personal. This isn't personal. Yeah. And even if it becomes personal, you don't need to, in my opinion, make it public for everybody else. If you got an issue with someone personally, just talk to them one-on-one on the side. Just keep it between you and that person, you and that player, you and that coach. That's between y'all.
Yep.
You don't need to know about other kind of stuff. But the teammate wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, the teammate wasn't the teammate killed at a party?
I still haven't heard. So if that's the case, I don't know.
I think I read that yesterday at some point out of South Carolina news station or something that he was killed at a party.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't remember the young man's name, and so I apologize on that. But I think he was shot at a party. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying multiple times, whatever. But I think he was at a party. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Okay. Happier news.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes played on Saturday, right? What did they do, sir?
They shut out Western Michigan. Held them to 99 total yards in the game. And they won 56-0.
Did they cover? I'm assuming they did.
Yeah, they did. They did. Okay. It's funny you asked that because last week they didn't.
Right.
Yeah, so this time they did. I think it was 36.5, something like that. I'm not Jimmy DeGree. I mean, right. I'm aging myself on that one.
Yeah, no, you are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I don't. I think it was like 36.5, 37, something like that. I don't know, but yeah, 56-0.
All right, Thrillo, it's your turn, my man. This won't take long. Let me see. Was it here? Because Thrillo's alma mater is Texas Southern.
Mm.
They did not do well on Saturday. He sent me a comment. I can't pull it up, but because Rice won. What was the final score? I think it was 69-7. I think that's what it was. And wow. See, Thrillo knows right there. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to. It was 38. Was it a shutout at halftime? I think it was 38-0 at halftime. Yeah.
Okay.
And Thrillo sent a message to me. Yeah. TSU waved the white flag at halftime, but Rice didn't see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rice and Coach Chris Dishman spoke to colleagues, Kyle Mosley and Kim Y. Davis after the game, and salute to them for their work. I left early because I just wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And Coach Dishman, former Oiler, head coach at TSU first year, he fell on his sword. He said, you know, it's my fault. The coaches did their job. I did not do my part getting everybody together, focused, refocused. And he said, after last weekend's big win over the rival Prairie View, he gave the players 48 hours. Usually, you know, you want to have a 24-hour rule. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it, and then 24 hours, forget about it, move on to Rice. So Coach Dishman said, yeah, I think those 48 hours of players started hearing from, you know, too many media folks wanting to do interviews and do podcasts and fans and family. Y'all are great. Y'all are so great. Y'all are this, that, and the other. Oh, man, Bob, you know, great job. And like the season was over, you know. So Coach Dishman said, yeah, never again. We're not doing that anymore. It's 24 hours. I got to get them focused on the next opponent. Mm-hmm. So that's my fault. Learn from it. Our goals for the season still remain: win the SWAC and then win the championship in Atlanta. You know, the MEAC SWAC challenge. So, yeah, a lot of issues because the starting QB for TSU in the win over Prairie View didn't play with ankle injury. The quarterback who played against Rice, ironically, was, I think, preseason second team all SWAC. So he has talent, but he didn't have enough time against Rice's defensive line. They got to him a lot early and often. But as Miss Wanda says, 48 hours is too long, because especially in this day and age, you hear all from all kinds of folks telling you, you know, you're better than you are, and you forget who you are, where you come from, you don't practice as hard, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
All of that, yep.
But starting QB, middle linebacker didn't play, so, yeah, that's part of it. And Rice was motivated because they got dog-walked by Sam Houston State last Saturday, 34-14. Sam Houston State moved up from FCS to Conference USA. So it was a bad loss for Rice. So Rice was not going to take TSU for granted, no way, no how. So, you know, which brings me to, ironically, lo and behold, Brother Gibson, the Rice Owls' next opponent, or their opponent this weekend, is the Fighting Coach Willie Fritz's, the Houston Cougars.
What is it for?
The Bayou Bucket. Yeah, the Bayou Bucket. Will be EJ Warner. EJ's shorter than his dad, Kurt, but he's still got the quarterback genes. That's no doubt about that. Yeah. Transferred from Temple to come to Rice to play for the other Owls. Going to claim the better Owls. There are three.
Hey, shout out to Coach Dan Drayton.
Yep. But there are three Owls teams in the American: the Temple Owls, the Rice Owls, and the Florida Atlantic Owls. Mm-hmm. So that's a rarity.
Yeah.
But yes, Rice and Houston play this Saturday at Houston at TDECU Stadium. Miss Wanda, will you be there? I'm pretty sure she will. Because Mr. Gibson, the Cougars shocked the nation, the Big 12 nation, the Houston Cougar fan base that jumped off the ship after week one, after the loss. They shocked everybody, playing Oklahoma so well, so close in Norman. Final score was 16-12. Defense played well. Defense, I want to say defense had five sacks, I think. So they played better. They improved from game one to game two, which is what Coach Fritz wants, what I believe will happen this season. I think they will beat Rice this Saturday. They have to continue improving. Rice is up and down. Rice has, even though Coach Fritz lost a lot of players, lost a lot, had to replace 60-plus players, hit the portal hard. I believe they still have enough talent depth to beat Rice. It won't be a blowout. I'd be shocked either way if it's a blowout, either way, in favor of Rice or in favor of Houston. But as Miss Wanda said, she was looking for improvement. The Cougs improved in game two. I think they'll get better in game three. They still had too many turnovers. Excuse me, penalties. Eight penalties. So that's 18 in two games. That's too many. Based on what Coach Fritz said today in his weekly presser, there are still too many mental errors as well. Guys not running the right routes, not running the right depth on a route. You know, even if you're not even the number one option, if the play calls for you to go 7 yards out, run 7 yards out because you need that spacing. You run 4 yards out, well, you clutter everything else. But you spread out and run, do your part, it makes everything more efficient, because I'm learning from Coach Fritz. He's getting these coachisms as well, like Coach Sampson. I learned from many years covering Coach Sampson. But Coach Fritz says it. You're 1 of 11 on offense, 1 of 11 on defense. More times than not, if one person on defense makes a mistake, you can recover from it. But one person on offense makes a mistake, it's hard to recover from that. So you got 1 of 11, do your part. If it's blocking, if it's running the correct route, going the right way, making the right read, hitting the quick pass out of the flat, all those things. So that is another area that the team has to improve. So we'll see. The game is, I want to say it's 7 o'clock. Is it 7? What time is this game start? I know the Big 12 announced the game on the 21st at Cincinnati is going to be 11 o'clock start on FS1, 11 o'clock Central.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cougs, I think they'll beat Rice. I won't be shocked if they lose to Rice. Mm-hmm. I just say I'll be disappointed if they lose to Rice. This is not like last year in the Hogersons. You know, you know how I feel about that man. So, you know,
how's the vibe this year versus last year? That was a question I had.
The vibe after Saturday in Norman is great. The vibe after last Saturday was horrible. Oh no, how could we lose to UNLV? Oh, yeah. How could we do with? Oh my gosh, this is going to be awful. It's going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we hire Coach Fritz? You know how folks do, how fans do. You know, it's over after one game. Not some of those same folks who jumped off the ship, jumped off the bus, jumped off the bandwagon, knocking on that door. Let me in. I believe in Coach Fritz now. Yeah, whatever.
Right.
No, Miss Wanda, I do not guarantee it. No, I do not guarantee the Cougs will be Rice. I feel strongly in it that they will. In the words of one of my favorite shows used to air on Showtime/Paramount, Billions. How certain am I? Well, I'm not uncertain. So I'll put it like that. So Rice is solid. This year's Rice team is not as good as last year's Rice team. And just to leave it at that. So as their loss to Sam Houston State by 20 proved. So, but yes, and this is true. Most Coug fans were not aware that UNLV is good. Yeah. Yeah, they won 9 games last year. You know, went to a bowl. Yeah, solid team. Yeah. But, oh, no, because he's trying being funny now. Really, he being funny. He got jokes. Look at this.
I see.
I don't trust your coach. You know he ain't my coach, Train. You know good and well he is not my coach.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick on this one. I was talking to someone today in the basketball world.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about it. And this person has connections and ties with men's basketball, men's mm-hmm. college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked me about what's going on with UH women's basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Like out of the blue, we were talking about a lot of different other topics. It's not out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with you? And I was like, huh? And I said, well, hopefully with the new AD in charge, this will be his last year as the head coach. And the person said, how long has he been there? He has been there that long, right? And I said, oh, no, he's been there 11 years. 11 years? I didn't realize it that long. I said, yeah, 11 years. Oh, yeah, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. And I said to the person, he's been there the same amount of time as Coach Kelvin Sampson. Oh, yeah, it's time for a change. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's too long. Yeah, it's time for a change. And I said, I hope so. I really do. I hope so. Because, oh, boy, Brother Gibson,
mm-hmm.
if I hear or they make an announcement that he's coming back for a 12th year, whoo-wee, might have to be an emergency, folks talking sports. Because I'm going to try to maintain professionalism, but I might have to just go off. I mean, just go off.
All right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I've already prepared Miss Wanda for that. If it happens, it woo.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, I'm just okay. WNBA, Brother Gibson.
Yep. Ooh.
5 games left in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this, or folks haters. Let's call them haters. Angel Reese announced that she was going to have surgery on her wrist. She suffered a wrist injury after she injured the wrist in Friday's game against, I think it was the Sparks.
Yeah.
And surgery was recommended because if not surgery, the wrist really, the way the bone is a hairline fracture in the bone, there's not enough blood flow really, because it's a unique, quirky injury that it wouldn't heal without the surgery. So she was risking, she'd be risking arthritis at a young age without it. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I mean, get the surgery so I can heal and be better and come back for a second season. Mm-hmm. But see, some folks like Trans comment are hating on her like that, that she's faking it. Why was she faking injury? Yeah. She's the second best rookie in the class.
Right.
She's already broken rebounding records. Why would she fake it? And then some folks are saying, apparently, so much so this, that she's pregnant. So Angel came out today and said, I'm not pregnant. I don't have a man to be pregnant. She said that. She worded it like that. Wow. I don't have a man right now to be pregnant. So, I mean, it just, what is, folks, what has she done to any of you personally for this vitriol? I just don't get it. What is, you know, but whatever. Anyhow, folks have their opinions. Salute to them. And they, hey, Kenny Carter came back Friday. But yesterday, Kenny Carter scored 28 points and helped Chicago win and hold on to that eighth and final playoff spot. They got a one game lead over Atlanta, 2-game lead over Washington with 5 games to go. So they have a good chance to make the playoffs. And another reason, why would Angel fake it? Because if they make the playoffs, she'd have more time to play in the playoffs. So why don't you do that? You know, to increase her brand, to help her team win in the playoffs, on and on like that. But salute to Caitlin Clark. I don't know. Let me just say this, Brother Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Last few games, I've posted post-game comments from the Indiana Fever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them actually feature Caitlin Clark. But it usually it's either Caitlin and Kelsey Mitchell, Caitlin and Aaliyah Boston,
mm-hmm.
Caitlin and Kelsey Mitchell, Lexi Hull. Sometimes it's two players, sometimes it's three.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been a one-off. So after the Olympic break, I've posted Fever post-game press conferences on the YouTube channel. Typically, they get a few hundred views. In some cases, more views than anything related to the Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Friday night, after they lost to Minnesota, same routine, Caitlin Clark, Kelsey Mitchell posted it on the Houston Round Ball Review YouTube channel. As of this show right now, as we're doing this live,
mm-hmm.
44,000 views.
Wow.
44,000 views. I posted comments from yesterday's game that they won. I don't even see 1,000 yet. So I don't know what it is about Friday, the loss to Minnesota. I don't know what it is. 44,000 views. So I can attest the Caitlin Clark effect is indeed real. And yes, even little old Houston Round Ball Review.
Mm-hmm.
Fever fans have discovered it, discovered the channel, what have you, whatever. So salute to some of them because the subscriber numbers have increased the last few days. And I'm assuming that's Fever fans, okay, or at minimum, Caitlin Clark fans.
Right. To be honest, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that. don't be a stranger. And they'll be in the playoffs. So as long as they're playing, I'm going to have content from the Fever on the Houston Round Ball Review YouTube channel. Because, hey, the Round Ball Review, local name, global perspective. Just putting it out there as well. All right, Brother Gibbs, who did the Browns play week two?
At Jacksonville.
Thoughts on that?
I almost don't want to say, but I think they'll win. I mean, the defense, I think Trevor Lawrence, they have to cover their receivers. I think Denzel Ward, I think Greg Newsome, I think MJ Emerson are getting to the challenge. Actually played in Cleveland last year. The Browns won. Actually, Joe Flacco was the quarterback at that time. It was after Deshaun had his surgery for his broken shoulder. But I think Jacksonville's coaching staff is on borrowed time. I think Doug Peterson and his staff pretty much have to make it happen this year, or Shad Khan will be looking for another coach. But Cleveland has a lot to clean up. That's the thing, Thurlow. No one knows. We just keep hearing they're close.
Okay.
They're close. Both had major knee surgeries last year. Jack Conklin, starting right tackle, actually was injured week one last year and is still not back.
Wow. Okay.
So he's the closer of the two, according to Coach Stefanski, because yesterday Jed Wills had his surgery mid-December. So he's about 9 months, a little under 9 months post-surgery, and isn't available yet. He was out. Jack Conklin was questionable. So based on the designations, Conklin was the closer of the two to returning. So we don't know. Yes, he did have a Tran Baker did have a better game than Deshaun yesterday.
But his worst defense, though.
Correct. The Baker also had his starting offensive line intact. And I think that's, again, people don't understand, or they fail, or they choose.
They choose to.
Yeah, that's the better thing. They choose not to acknowledge that you're missing two tackles. The heart of your offensive line are your tackles. Your left tackle, especially because he's protecting the blind side of the quarterback, he's out. The right tackle.
If they're right-handed, but I know what you mean, yeah.
Both right, if he's right-handed, correct. Deshaun is right-handed, so the left tackle is protecting his blind side. He was, both his tackles were out, regardless. Left tackle, right tackle, they both were out. And so that makes a huge, huge difference. And so I don't care who you are. If you don't have time to throw the ball, if you're running for your life, as soon as you get the ball in your hands, you're not going to be successful, regardless of how much money you make, as the people like to throw the money aspect into it.
Yeah.
But no one's going to be successful in a situation like that. So, you know, remains busy. And also, and in addition to the tackles being out, tight end David Njoku injured his ankle yesterday. He's week to week. Reports that that's official from the team. Some reports are that it's a high ankle sprain and it's 4 to 6 weeks. So that's a weapon. And to that point, the Browns did sign wide receiver Kadarius Toney today. He actually was in town last week for a workout, and he was signed today. So some depth in the receiver room for the Browns on that. So we'll see. And let me say this, why people say, why week one? Vested veterans, if you sign them, if they're on your roster week one and you cut them, they're owed their full salary for the season. If you sign a veteran after week one and you cut them, you have no more financial obligation to them. So, for example, they signed Kadarius Toney today after week one. If he were to be cut after week 12, they would owe him no more money. They would pay him from week two to week 12 versus had they signed him prior to week one and cut him in week 12, he would have been paid the remainder of the season. So just a little procedural thing that Andrew Berry, general manager Andrew Berry, and the staff are very, very astute at implementing. No.
So James is not the most popular person in Cleveland right now?
No. It's just they don't like Deshaun. It's not even about James being the most popular. It's no Deshaun. It could be me or you. It could be Thrillo. It doesn't matter as long as it's not Deshaun. So, you know, I think Deshaun bounces back. I mean, heavy is the head that wears the crown. I mean, I just talked about the things. Like I said, no one knew yesterday until postgame that his father passed on Friday, right, outside of the team. You know, and honestly, as well it should be. I mean, again, we're media. We, you know, it's our job to find things out. But certain things to me, I'm just not going to, you know, yeah, that's fine for me. So I think he has a bounce back game next week. But again, it's the running game. You can talk about Deshaun struggling all day long. Your running backs have 14 carries, 5 in the first half, and your best running back is out for a minimum another 3 games. Nick Chubb coming off a knee injury. Mm-hmm. So, all that being said, I still think the Browns will win on Sunday. Yeah.
All right, because I think Jaguars minus 3.5.
Not the crab legs, Trey. Come on.
But I'm going to answer this question. Answer this one. This is about regarding the UH men's basketball. Saturday was their third of 3 consecutive weeks of official visits. Mm-hmm. And Saturday was John Clark. John Clark is from here. He has transferred to Link Academy in Missouri. Mm-hmm. John Clark this past year was one of the top 10 finalists for the Guy V. Lewis Award, which I'm a part of. I'm on that committee, on the select committee. I'm the media PR person for that award. John is ranked top 60 in the country. 6'8", 6'9", big man, a lot of potential. Sometimes questionable motor, which is not a great thing if you want to play for Kelvin Sampson, because if you don't have a high motor, if you need to be pushed to play hard, then chances are you won't play very much. Okay. But his visit went well. Last weekend had big man Chris Sinek, top 15 big man, top 15 player, big man. He was in for his visit. It went well. LSU is really more the favorite for him. And Willie, let me look at me when I say this, Willie. LSU is more in the favor for him.
Will Wade still? No, sorry. Oops.
And then the first week of official visits, 2 weeks ago, Isaiah Harwell from Idaho was a top 10 player. Uh-huh. It's a wing.
Idaho.
Shooting guard. That's more his, AAU program kind of thing, but you know.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is down to Houston and Gonzaga for him. Isaiah is expected to make his announcement this Thursday, the 12th.
Okay.
The Cougs are the favorite to land him. I'm hoping, I put this out there in the universe, that if, assuming he does choose the Cougs, at some point between Thursday and whatever, I'm going to have him, going to talk to him, interview him.
Nice.
So whenever, like, it could be Thursday, it could be Friday, Saturday, whatever, it's on him, on his timetable. So if he chooses the Cougs, that'd be a top 10 player. John Clark, like I said, just had his visit. I think it's down to the Cougs and the Aggies of Texas A&M. So it's kind of 50-50. Then they have three more players, top two more top 50 players. And the last one is a big man, kind of raw, lesser known. He's like 100, 105, something like that, you know, but still six top 100 players considering making, well, hell, making official visits to the University of Houston, which is just a miracle of how far the program has come in 10 years. So, right. Yes, Trey, the point guard from San Antonio you're referring to is Kingston Flemings. And he's still slated to come in for a visit. It is really between Houston and Texas for him. Depending on who you ask, you get a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks say Houston is the favorite, clear-cut favorite for him. Some folks say the Longhorns are the favorite. So depending on who you ask, you get a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the six, like I said, I think they'll get one for sure. I think it's going to be Isaiah Harwell. Of the six total, I think they could get two. See, he asked me if I could only have two of the six, who would I take? Isaiah would be one of them. Then the other one, oh, wow. I mean, it's a nice problem to have, you know. So I could see probably, I know the least about the last visit. Kareem Stagg is his name, big man. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about him. So because I don't know much about him, I'm not going to count him as my possible choice. So it's four left because I think Isaiah is going to commit, barring some change.
Mm.
So out of the four, remaining four, Chris Senick, John Clark, Shelton Henderson, Kingston Flemings. Shelton is from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
His dream school, guess what his dream school is, Will?
From Houston?
He's from Houston.
North Carolina.
Wright State?
Duke.
Yes. 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 His dream school is Duke. He has ties. See, Jay Lucas is on the Duke staff now. He went to the same high school that Jay Lucas did. His AAU team is the John Lucas JL3 team. So there's a lot of Duke ties with Shelton. That is not to say that the Cougs are dead to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to what I said. His dream school is Duke. So just keep that in mind, Coug fans, hell, Duke fans. But his dream school is Duke. So I'm not, based on that information, I don't believe Shelton will pick the Cougs. So then you're getting down to Chris Senick, John Clark, and Kingston Flemings. Like I said, I don't think Chris will pick Houston, as you saw what I did as that reason, NIL. And nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So no hate on me, no hate on him at all. Okay? So anybody take this clip out and say, oh, Chris Gardner's hate. Nope. No, Chris Gardner did not say that. So then I leave John Clark and Kingston Flemings. Heck, they might get both of them. But I'm going to say John Clark. I'll get John Clark and Isaiah Harwell, get two of those six. So we shall see. I wish them all the best of luck. Ironically, Shelton Henderson was a Guy V. Lewis Award top 10 finalist last year. So we had two of the six. Are scheduled to make official visits to the Houston Cougars. And no, Brother Gibson, no. Miss Wanda, no. CA37, I have no sway in any of that. I have no sway and no decision, no pull whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And the kids picking Houston. Some folks have had that false impression that the Gavi Lewis committee is picking the winners of the award because they go to Houston. Yeah, you know me, man. I don't play that. Okay, yeah. That's not my style.
Right.
Okay, this past year's winner is going to A&M. Okay. PJ Haggerty went to TCU before transferring. Now he's going to Memphis. he went from TCU, didn't play. Played at Tulsa this past year, played a lot. Was like the leading scorer in freshman in the country. He transferred to Memphis. Let's wrap it up with that. Brother Gibson.
Yeah.
Memphis basketball, men's basketball, is a mess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Part of my conversation with the person I talked to earlier today about men's hoops, mostly before they steered it to U.S. women's basketball,
mm-hmm.
was what's going on with Memphis. And this person asked me if I'd heard that Penny would be fired before the season starts. That this AD that was hired by Memphis was hired to fire Penny before the start of the season. So I was like, well, that's news to me. But of course, Penny, he replaced let four staffers go, Thursday, Friday, a few days ago?
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
And then prior to that, let five other staffers go, something like that. So the timing is not good. The cloud hanging over the program is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just your thoughts. Do you think Memphis will fire Penny before the season starts?
Who's the AD? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I don't. And he's new. I mean, he got hired weeks before. Is that right? Weeks before Houston hired Eddie Nunez. And he was, I want to say, the first African-American AD at Memphis, something like that.
Not Derrick Gregg, is it?
Oh, let me see here. Because the first thing that popped up, that's not the person. So, Ed Scott. Ed Scott is the AD. Dr. Ed Scott.
The fact that it's a new AD, I would say yes, because he has no allegiance to Penny. I mean, that's typical. New AD comes in, cleans house, they want their own guy. So I won't say it's necessarily because anything Penny may or may not have done or may or may not have been alleged to have done. That's just the game.
Yeah, you want your own people.
You want your own people. Yeah. So, I mean, any good AD, any good GM has a list
mm-hmm.
of who I would bring on if I were to get this job, or if a job opened, who would I bring in? So it wouldn't shock me if that were to occur.
Agreed. I think Penny's days are numbered. The staff turnover has not helped. It may have sped up the process of firing him now. The timing was awful.
Big time awful.
You know what I mean? Heck, college basketball season starts. Practice starts the end of this month, I think. You know, really. You know, I mean, they're working out and doing stuff now, but the official practices are just, you know. And yeah, Kellen Sampson, I don't think Kellen will take that job, because it's just a mess. But I don't know the ties, if he has any connections with Ed Scott. If he does, then who knows? But Ed Scott coming from Virginia, you know, I trust what Willie says. I agree with what Willie says. I'm sure he has his own list of folks in mind for the job. I doubt he hires any of them right now, though.
You know?
I mean, because, man, if he does, just say, hey, this year's a wash. Go do what you got to do. You know, make the best of this situation and just keep it moving. But, you know, this Memphis fans are clinging to this with Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston gone last year. Memphis, you know, the team that won it was FAU. So it wasn't Memphis. You know, the FAU had the splash. Memphis had went through the struggles.
Got Dusty made a Michigan job.
You know, yeah. Got Dusty made paid. You know, so, and nothing wrong with that.
No.
Let's be clear on that as well. So we'll see. I don't know. I have one person that I'm going to reach out to after this show to see if he's heard anything more specific regarding Penny's job status. Well, actually, two people who know more about that situation and much closer to that program than me. And based on what they tell me, I'll let you know, brother. I'll hit you up and
please
and let you know. Please. But that'll do it. Going to wrap it up there. We'll get the info ready and give my man Willie Gibson the big screen and give him the floor.
And I'm going to apologize. Now that was the over, I'm going to say this. I've been distracted. And after we end, everybody go watch this. The Miami-Dade County just released the body cam footage of Tyreek Hill's arrest yesterday. I'll just allow people to watch it and form their own conclusions.
I'm looking forward to that because what I saw earlier today via Facebook, a friend on Facebook, yeah. Just watch the, that's all I'm going to say, just watch the video.
Watch the video.
All right, my man, you got it.
Yes, sir. Thank you as always, KG. Always appreciate the opportunity to vibe with you. The platform has always been a blessing for me to share. You can always find me on X at, I said X, wow, at Will Gibson 7. Facebook, Will Knows, and IG and Threads, Will Knows Sports.
And I am KG, Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review. Start following the Folks Talking Sports IG and Threads accounts. Salute to those because those numbers are steadily beginning to increase on both those platforms. Share more and more content on there. But as always, thank you to my man Willie Gibson for sharing his insight. And if you've missed it, by all means, please check out his appearance on the AdMex Corner on September 4th. He was with some other colleagues, some other heavy hitters, talking NFL and discussing the NFL season. Did a great job doing that. It was almost a 90-minute show of infotainment.
Thank you.
So check that out. And as always, everybody, Thrillo, get you that mug right there, my man. Click on it. Get that shop button. Hit that. Support the Round Ball Review. Spread the word about the Round Ball Review. Spread the word about Folks Talking Sports. As always, if you want to advertise, there's ways to do that. There's ways to support the Round Ball Review. A lot of different ways. Advertise at thehrr.com. Again, that's advertise at thehrr.com. You can put your info right there in the upper right corner where it says your ad here. You're just screaming out. Somebody, advertise on Folks Talking Sports. We do great things here on FTS. Ways to support the show, Cash App. Got to branch out, get the QR code also, the Cash App, my government name, Christopher Gardner, then Zell at thehrr.com, as well as paypal.me/thehrreview. So as always, salute to everyone for participating in the discussion this evening. Mr. Tran, Miss Wanda, Big Thrillo, CA37, getting closer to, oh, by the way, it might be the same date, but I'm going to ask you, what date is Cavs Media Day?
Oh, that's a great question. Is it the 30th?
Because the Rockets is the 30th.
It's so, 30th, yeah.
I think majority of the NBA teams will be, Media Day will be on the 30th, and if there's any team going overseas, we'll have it probably a few days prior to that. But looking forward to the Rockets Media Day. The Rockets are having their training camp in their brand new facility in town. It's like, 15 minutes from me.
Mm.
So that's much better than going to Galveston, going out of town or anywhere, out of state to see training camp. So I'm going to try to make a few visits for that as well. And if I'm able to make it, I'll share some content here and what I see, a little bit of practice we can't see, on the Houston Roundball Review YouTube channel. So subscribe to the channel, click on that bell so you can receive updates when new shows and new content is posted. Salute to the Caitlin Clark fans for becoming subscribers to the channel. If you are Indiana Fever fans, that's great too. But either one, Caitlin Clark, Indiana Fever fans, both WNBA fans. Come one, come all, subscribe to the Houston Roundball Review YouTube channel. And lastly, if you missed it, condolences to the friends and family of former Rockets general manager Carol Dawson, as well as the ultimate actor, James Earl Jones. Both of them passed away earlier Monday. So I'm going to wrap it up as I always do. Since 1994, the Houston Roundball Review, local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care. Peace.